Welcome to the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast. Before we begin, I'd like to inform you of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the books that we are using, From Slavery to Freedom by John Hope Franklin, The Negro Church in America by E. Franklin Frazier, and The Black Church in the U.S. by William A. Banks, from our website at historybabc.com. Now, here's your host, national best-selling author and president of Gospel Light Society International, Daniel White III.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 47 of the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast. My name is Daniel White III, president of Gospel Light Society International. Since it is hard, rather difficult, to separate Black American history and Black church history, I am combining the two because they are so intertwined. As many of you know, the church and religion, faith, has played and continues to play a big role in the African American community. Yet many of us who grew up in the traditional Black church do not have an understanding of how our faith evolved under the duress of slavery and discrimination to be and to represent what it does today. The purpose of this podcast is to provide that background knowledge while also pointing out the dividing line between what is just tradition and true faith in Jesus Christ. Our scripture verse for today is Matthew 4:4, which reads, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Beloved, our history of Black Americans and the Black Church quote for today is from Lee June, Dr. Lee June, a professor at Michigan State University, and the author of the book Yet With a Steady Beat, The Black Church Through a Psychological and Biblical Lens. He said, "Therefore, it is extremely critical that congregations examine their practices and beliefs to make sure that they are not creating, practicing, or reinforcing a toxic faith system. We must carefully examine our statements and belief system to make certain that we do not have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Beloved, in this podcast, we are using as our texts From Slavery to Freedom by Dr. John Hope Franklin, The Negro Church in America by E. Franklin Frazier, and The Black Church in the U.S. by Dr. William A. Banks. If you enjoy this podcast and you appreciate what we're doing, please feel free to purchase any one of these books from our website. Our first topic for today is titled Colonial Enterprise in the Caribbean or Caribbean, Part 3, from the book From Slavery to Freedom by Dr. John Hope Franklin. In the 17th century, Spain lost all claim to exclusive control over the islands in the Caribbean or the Caribbean. Denmark, Holland, France, and England acquired territory in the area. Dutch buccaneers were entrenched in Curaçao, St. Eustatius, and Tobago by 1640, and the Dutch West India Company supported enthusiastically by its government, was promoting the slave trade. At about the same time, the French Company of the Islands of America settled Guadeloupe, Martinique, and Marie Galante. In the 1650s, St. Lucia and Grenada were acquired by France. The English secured control of St. Christopher in 1623, Barbados in 1625, and Nevis, Antigua, and Montserrat in the 1630s. In 1655, they won one of the great prizes of the Caribbean by driving the Spaniards out of Jamaica. In 1671, the Danes acquired St. Thomas. The Spanish monopoly had indeed been broken up, and the West Indies had become not only a pawn in European diplomacy, but an important source of revenue for Europeans. African slavery proved to be invaluable in building revenue-producing institutions. If the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic in our next episode. Our second topic for today is the Negro Church, A Nation Within a Nation, Part 16, from the Negro Church in America by Dr. E. Franklin Frazier. An arena of political life continued. The Negro Church was not only an arena of political life for the leaders of Negroes, it had a political meaning for the masses. Although they were denied the right to vote in the American community, within their churches, especially the Methodist churches, they could vote and engage in electing their officers. The elections of bishops and other officers and representatives to conventions has been a serious activity for the masses of Negroes. But in addition, the church had a political significance for Negroes in a broader meaning of the term. The development of the Negro church after emancipation was tied up, as we have seen, largely with the Negro family. A study of Negro churches in a Black Belt county in Georgia in 1903 revealed, for example, that a large proportion of the churches were family churches. Outside of the family, the church represented the only other organized social existence. The rural Negro communities in the South were named after their churches. In fact, the Negro population in the rural South has been organized in church communities, which represented their widest social orientation and the largest social groups in which they found an identification. Moreover, since the Negro was an outsider in the American community, it was the church that enlisted his deepest loyalties. Therefore, it was more than an amusing incident to note some years ago in a rural community in Alabama that a Negro, when asked to identify the people in the adjoining community, replied, "The nationality in there is Methodist." We must remember that these people have no historic traditions and language and sentiments to identify them as the various nationalities of Europe. For the Negro masses, in their social and moral isolation in American society, the Negro church community had been a nation within a nation. Beloved, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic in our next episode. Our third and final topic for today is from the Black Church in the U.S. Its Origin, Growth, Contributions, and Outlook by Dr. William A. Banks. Today we are looking at Part 16 of Chapter 4, Reconstruction and Retaliation, 1866 to 1914, Crime. Concerning the Ku Klux Klan, Booker T. Washington said, "Their objects in the main were to crush out the political aspirations of the Negroes, but they did not confine themselves to this because schoolhouses as well as churches were burned by them, and many innocent persons were made to suffer. Thus, the attitudes some Negroes express toward those in authority are understandable, and it must be admitted that white authorities are themselves responsible to some degree for the development of unwholesome attitudes towards authority. Even black policemen have not escaped this antagonism from blacks. Any sincere discussion of Negro crime must also include consideration of slums, poverty, crowded housing, ignorance, bigotry, discrimination, unemployment, lack of education, hatred, racism, police brutality, inflated statistics, unequal treatment, corrupt judges and magistrates, and lack of legal aid. All of these things are products of man's sinful heart, which is ever ready to manifest its nature under ripe conditions, stimuli, and motivations. Failure to consider the background and history of the black man at this point is unfair, and any discussion of Negro crime without this consideration will fall short of accomplishing any good purpose. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic in our next episode." Let's have a word of prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, give us wisdom along with the knowledge, and give us understanding along with the information, and help us to use it for your glory, your praise, and your honor, and to stay on point to see every person hear the gospel and come to know you, Lord Jesus, as Savior. For it is in his name, your name, amen. Now, in closing, allow me to say that, like so many of you, I grew up in a very religious and church-going family. And during that time, I often heard the phrase, being saved. Now, much of what the church people whom I grew up around said being saved was, I now know, is wrong according to the Bible. For example, joining the church, being baptized, doing good things, good works, or being a good person or trying to be one, does not mean you are saved and will not get you saved. I wrote an article about this matter titled On Being Saved in Black America some years ago, which is available for you to read free of charge on our website, GospelLightSociety.com. Right now, I want to share with you very briefly what the Bible says being saved really is. First, understand that you need to be saved because you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, understand that a horrible punishment, eternal hell, awaits those who are not saved. In Matthew 25:41, Jesus Christ said that God will say to those who are not saved, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Third, dear friend, realize that God loves you very much and wants to save you from hell. John 3:16 says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you want to be saved today from sin and hell and be guaranteed a home in heaven, simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died, was buried, and rose from the dead for your sins, and then call upon the Lord in prayer and ask him to save your soul, to change your life, and he will. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you do that today, then you can truly sing, in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last." Until next time, my beloved, may God richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the books that we are using, From Slavery to Freedom by John Hope Franklin, The Negro Church in America by E. Franklin Frazier, and The Black Church in the U.S. by William A. Banks, from our website at historybabc.com. Please feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a comment about this podcast on iTunes. You can also listen to the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, BlackBerry Podcasts, and via podcasting apps on the Google Play Store and the Amazon App Store. God bless.